The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Last hour, best hour here on a numbers game. I'm Jared Smith. Excited to be with you live from the D in downtown Las Vegas. Kelly Bidlin along with us as well. And joining us now, very excited to talk to this man. He was just in town a couple weeks ago. Now he's back in his home perch. Tyler Shoemaker, VSiN writer and contributor. Follow him on social media at @TShoeIndex. Hope it was if you stayed cool, I hope it was a fun trip for you here in town, Tyler.
I had a great time. It was not cool by any means, but it was a great time.
You were cool, but the temperatures certainly were not. The temperatures have been risen in the WNBA of late. We are approaching the Olympic break, which is a very nice little breather for, I'm sure, you cooking up these numbers every day, but also just the players who won't be participating in the Olympics. I believe it's a full month off, right? I think it's starting this week, and then they did a full month off for the Olympics, right?
Yep. So there's games today and tomorrow, and then we're off for a month, which, like you said, I am grateful for, so I can kind of work on some football stuff as well in the meantime.
Yeah, no rest for the weary. All right, let's get into today's games, because you have an article up on VSiN.com right now, best bets and projections for today's games. There are three of them. We will start with the Mystics and the Mercury. Looks like the Mercury, about a 4.5-point road favorite here. What are the numbers telling you?
Yeah, I play the Mystics here. The Mercury really need this break. They are not playing well over the last few games. They've also been dealing with some injuries. I only project the Mercury as about a 0.5-point favorite here. Project the total at about 167.5. So again, I like the Mystics plus the points here.
Yeah, I haven't paid too much attention to the Mystics this year. I have watched some of the Mercury games because they've played some pretty high-profile matchups there. The total sitting 169, little juice to the over. Anything intrigue you on the total in that game?
Not currently, but if it's going to continue to go up, I may end up getting involved with the under.
Good stuff. All right, let's move on to the Storm and the Sparks. Seattle's a big favorite here on the road. LA's obviously struggled this year. They're one of the worst teams in the WNBA, especially defensively. I'm sure it hasn't gotten any better since Cameron Brink got hurt. But the Storm, again, laying a pretty big number on the road here. What do you think?
Yeah, this is kind of a tale of teams going in different directions. Like you said, the Sparks are just... After Cameron Brink went down, their defense completely went down the toilet. The Storm, on the other hand, are kind of surging right now over their last 3 to 5 games. So I only project this at Storm -5.5. But looking at the more recent games, that number would go up to about 8.5, 9, which is where the market has been on this. So I don't really have a strong play here. I wouldn't want to bet against the Storm in this spot. I do like the under. It's kind of bounced around 162, 163 here this morning already. I would like it anything under like 161. I would probably play it.
Is it hard when you have a player like Cameron Brink to reassess your numbers after she gets hurt? You know, the Sparks haven't been a very good team this year, but she's so important to them. Is that been a difficult adjustment for you?
Yeah, well, and the even harder thing, I think, was to really get a gauge of her value, because she didn't really play all that many games. So trying to take that small sample size and then figure out what she was worth and then project out the rest of the season, you know, without her in the lineup, that definitely has been difficult. So it's been hard to get a handle on the Sparks from a power rating standpoint.
On the Progressive guest line, it's Tyler Shoemaker, VSiN writer, contributor, does a fantastic job handicapping the WNBA. Follow him on social media at @TShoeIndex. Let's continue with today's card. The Chicago Sky and the Las Vegas Aces. This one's going to be fun. You get Asia Wilson. You get Angel Reese. It arguably two of the best bigs in the WNBA. Obviously, the Aces are a big favorite at home here in Vegas. What does your number say?
Yeah, I wrote about this today. I think Angel Reese has to look at Asia Wilson and think, that's what I could be in a perfect world. Like, if everything clicks and Angel Reese develops her skills, like, Asia Wilson would be like the perfect outcome for an Angel Reese athlete profile. As far as this game goes, again, the Aces are really surging right now. I mean, since they got Chelsea Gray back in the lineup, they've either not lost or only lost one. They've been playing great. I project them a 13-point favorite. I've only got the total at 166.5, though. I bet it at 171 earlier this morning, and then it's already shot up a couple more points beyond that. So I really like the under. I don't agree with the market move here on this total. The Aces defense of late has really come along. So I really like the under here.
Do you notice, and you know, you pay really close attention to these markets, is it usually side or total that has the biggest movements on a day-to-day basis? And do you tend to see the market move in the favor of where your number is? Or do you see a lot of value when your numbers kind of go in a different direction?
I would say definitely totals move more. I think you'll see more fluctuation on the totals than the sides. As far as whether they move in my direction or not, I mean, I would say 70% of the time they move in my direction. But as we know, the WNBA market is not a very efficient market.
Nope.
So, you know, because of lower limits and things like that, books are responding to less credible information, you know, via bets from the bettors. And so you'll see lines move a couple points, you know, in my opinion, in the wrong direction.
Yeah, I think the WNBA is one of those markets that I would call it evolving. And I'm really interested to see how this new influx of attention, money, all of those things from this Caitlin Clark bonanza we are currently going through have an impact long term on the market. Before we let you go, I do want to ask you very briefly about the futures market, not necessarily on the team side, but on the player side. We were talking about the Angel Reese, Caitlin Clark Rookie of the Year debate. It feels like a political debate. It feels like a presidential election with Angel Reese now being the big underdog and Caitlin Clark being obviously the big favorite. But you think maybe that gap should be a little bit tighter?
Yeah, I do. I mean, Caitlin's having a great season. And again, I wrote about this at VEASAN last week. Do I think Caitlin Clark's a better basketball player than Angel Reese? Yes, 100%. Obviously, she can shoot better, dribble better, pass better, all of those things. That being said, Angel Reese, I mean, her value to her team, I've got her worth about 2.5 points to the spread. I've got Caitlin worth about a point to the spread right now. Angel's having a great season. I don't think she should be 6-1. I think that should be much shorter. So, you know, I think if you wanted to get involved in that market, I think Angel Reese would be the play at plus 600.
See, that's interesting to me, Kelly. I don't know if you feel the same way, but when I watch those two players, Caitlin Clark being worth less against the spread to Angel Reese, I think that would surprise some people.
Yeah,
what do you think?
I mean, I haven't watched a ton this season, but man, every time I turn on, I mean, both those teams, I mean, I see it with Angel Reese. I mean, she's been a double-double machine. Like, I get it. Like, Caitlin Clark's, I think it's something special with Caitlin Clark, too. We talked about it a lot at the beginning of the season. It's very clear that teams are out to hunt her a little bit.
Yes.
with her coming out onto the scene. So that doesn't surprise me. It really doesn't surprise me. I also don't know if there's any way Caitlin Clark's losing that award with how much when we talk about voters, right? And it's their opinion on this stuff.
I think the politics nature of this award, it will keep me away from it, Tyler. But I agree with your premise.
6-1 feels long. Yeah.
6-1 feels a little bit long. But then I keep going back to this word that I use a lot. You guys use it in the golf world, win equity.
Yeah.
Like, I think the 6-1 actually feels short compared to what her win equity actually is. Because to be fair, I haven't handicapped the votership in the WNBA like I've done votership in the NBA and in Major League Baseball, where I feel like I have a better grasp on what the voters respond to. I have no idea what the voters are going to respond to this year. Tyler, it feels very political, and it almost feels like a point where just because Angel Reese is worth more against the spread, which I agree with that sentiment, but I don't know if that's going to resonate at all with the voters, which is why I struggle with getting to the window on her.
Yeah, no, I 100% agree. This definitely feels political, you know, in the sense that I don't think any numbers or data presented is going to change someone's mind one way or the other. I think you think what you think, and you're going to stick to that. I think people are pretty stubborn in this debate, as they are with politics in this country. So I definitely agree with that. I don't know that any amount of data is going to sway someone one way or the other.
Speaking of data, have you noticed anything intriguing in the prop market in the WNBA this year? I know that market has evolved considerably. Is that something you're ever interested in getting involved in, or do you think the sides and the totals, because of how you bake your numbers, is kind of what you want to focus on?
So early in the season, I was playing quite a few props. I have a pretty reliable site. I don't personally make prop projections, but I have a pretty reliable site that I use. And early in the season, I was able to find some huge edges, and that has pretty much gone away. I mean, I was getting like 25-30% edges. Now the most I'll see on a day is like 4.5, maybe 6. So I've really laid off the props here lately and just stuck to the sides and totals, because the model's been pretty good at projecting those.
The model is modeling, as they say. Tyler Shoemaker, fantastic work, my friend. VSiN writer, contributor at T-Shoe Index is where you can find him on social media. Enjoy your, I guess I'll call it an Olympic break, but I know you're going to be working during that break, so you're not going to be taking a whole lot of time off.
No, absolutely. I'm working on transitioning my numbers to a new website, so that's a whole undertaking in and of itself.
It seems like the model is also modeling on a different website as well. Great stuff, Tyler. I appreciate the time, pal. We'll talk again soon.
All right. Thanks, guys. See ya.
Yeah. If you don't follow Tyler and you are not familiar with what he does, not only in the WNBA world, just wait for college football. Yeah. He was unbelievable last year with his college football numbers. All of a sudden, we had this new resource that we could rely on to kind of cross-reference things. And you know, the college football rating services, there's a lot of really good ones out there. Tyler's was really unique last year.
Yeah,
he had some spots last year that you didn't think were going to be there, and they were. Long story short, follow him, support him, look at his work on VSiN.com. It's fantastic. I want to get to the window on Angel Reese, but I can't do it.
I'm glad you circled back on this.
I can't do it.
I don't even like throw the whole political conversation out the window. But throw that out for a second. Isn't this Victor Wembanyama all over again? Like on December 1st, he was not the rookie of the year in the NBA. He wasn't. Chet Holmgren was beating him out in everything that you would look at. But like, was there ever a chance he wasn't going to win the award? And I just think that's Caitlin Clark all over again.
Angel Reese
has been amazing. It does not surprise me at all that Tyler's numbers say she's worth more to a spread than Caitlin Clark.
I'll be honest, the entire interview we just did with Tyler, that was the most informative part. Mm-hmm. That was really, really informative. And it kind of shows you what the actual odds makers think of the Caitlin Clark Angel Reese debate. All right, we'll back on the other side. More baseball on Numbers Game.
VSiN, the sports betting network.
Get ready to win big this NFL season. VSiN Pro subscription. Sign up for our football special before the end of this month. You get full VSiN Pro access from now through the Super Bowl with that early bird discount of 175 bones. Saves you nearly 50% off the monthly price. With VSiN Pro, you'll gain access to the daily best bets, betting splits, proven systems, analysis from pro cappers, 24/7 content, and our special edition betting guides. Like our new NFL betting guide, it's packed with detailed team, division, conference analysis, plus season win totals, futures, props, awards, and best bets. Don't wait. Sign up for the end of the month to get your full VSiN Pro Access subscription for $175. It's an early bird discount. Sign up now at VSiN.com/subscribe. Jared Smith, Kelly Bidlin, back with you here from downtown Las Vegas. I'm in for Gil Alexander for the next 2 days, today and tomorrow. Before we get into some more baseball chatter, I want to read this tweet from our pal Corbin, Corbino13 on social media. Thanks for the tweet, pal. He asked us if you guys have seen the videos for the new NCAA video game. Curious if either you played the last one, we'll be playing this one. And then he tagged it with, he's a grown-ass man talking about video games. Yeah, that's where I struggle here. This was like my childhood. Xbox, PlayStation.
Me and you are like the same age. So.
We are. I'm 38 years old. I grew up in the late 90s, early 2000s. I grew up in the Sega Genesis Super Nintendo era. I had a Nintendo, graduated to Sega, loved me some Sonic the Hedgehog, loved me some Joe Montana Football 94, then graduated to the Super Nintendo, obviously N64 with Mario Kart. That was like God for about a few years. And then once I got to the PlayStation era, that's when I started to transition to a little bit more shooter games. I was a big fan of like Hitman and like that kind of stuff. I played FIFA a lot. Mm-hmm. And then when I got to college, that's when we started getting involved in dynasties with college football. And I had a group of friends in college that we played college football. We had our own little dynasty league a few years after. This is like 2010, 2011, 2012. Mm-hmm. We were very hat and heavy into the college football 2013, 2014 era.
And you were high. Were you high at that time? Were you higher on that game or Madden?
That college football.
Me too. Not even close.
Madden was not a big thing for me after
After the first 5-6 years of yes. Madden, or well, yeah, that's not fair because Madden goes back to like the computer.
I was never
on, like,
big into Madden. I preferred football, FIFA, and shooter games, role player games.
I liked it, but it hit a point where it stopped making such vast improvements that it lost my interest. I really haven't played much Madden in.
I like college football because I like college football more than the NFL.
So I like the NFL more than college football, but that game was always a better experience because you could do more fun things. You could recruit. You could do all this stuff. I mean, everybody does the same thing, right? You're running out five-star freshmen to start right away so they get better quicker, and you're cutting seniors and stuff off the team. Corbin, just to answer your question, I felt like it was while I was handicapping golf for hours yesterday, and my entire Twitter timeline was, dudes like us playing this video game who've been waiting on it for years to come back. Yeah, I cannot wait to get my hands on it and play it. I think it's going to be a little bit for me.
It's going to be a little bit for me.
Yeah, but it is. I know we've all been waiting on it for a long time, and it's great to see it back.
Here's the issue.
Do we have names under the kids now?
Yes.
That part I guess I didn't see on videos.
Names under the kids. Here's the issue that I have. I don't have time.
Exactly.
Back in the 2010, 11, 12 era, when I was just out of college, I wasn't working as hard as I am now. I wasn't as successful as I am now. I had time. I had time on my hands. I had time to kill. I don't even have a box to play with anymore. I have to go not only buy the game, I have to buy the console as well. I haven't had a console, gaming console, in a decade.
So I broke down during COVID during that, and I was like, all right.
I didn't have one.
Let me buy it.
You know what I did during COVID? I worked. I was fortunate to be working during COVID, but I also was watching like every show known to man. You know what I watched the entire show during COVID?
I don't even want to think about it anymore.
Star Wars Clone Wars was like, I watched like all like 10 seasons of it.
Is that the cartoon one?
The cartoon one. I'm a nerd.
hey, man, at least
surprise,
you can admit it.
Surprise. I'll be honest. I don't know if I'm going to get involved here.
Okay.
I think if I were to set odds on me spending time to go buy the console, get back up to speed with all the bells and whistles, buy the game, get involved with the game, learn the new rules, learn the new format, and then create a dynasty, a team, a franchise, and go through. That sounds really time consuming.
So, yeah, there's that. There's also a part you kind of hit on there where, I don't know about you, but anytime I've actually played a video game in the past, like, 6-7 years, man, have they gotten hard. Video games are difficult.
Yeah.
I used to love playing, like, NBA 2K, and it's like, all right, give me, like, 24-year-old LeBron James, and, like, I'm just going straight to the rack every time.
I don't
slam it home. Slam it home. Now you can't do that anymore. I got to run plays out there and everything. Come on.
I just don't have the same itch to be a gamer. Yeah. To me, the way that I view my life, everything has a purpose now. And for me to actually intentionally take time from my day to sit and stare at a screen, which is basically what I do all the day anyways, and not have a chance to make money from it, the value of that in my mind goes down. Like, if I'm going to be staring at screens all day, I want to make freaking money.
No, oh, man. In college, there was a lot of money going back and forth over
games. I guess you could bet on you playing, but that feels like a bridge too far for me.
There was a lot of money changing hands back in the day for me.
I'm not going to lie. I have wagered on myself playing for and against and other people on those games before, but that was also a much stupider version of Jared.
Oh, man,
lesser version of me.
My favorite would be college playing Madden, and we'd put money down, and then it would just be, you know, we'd have like 5-minute quarter clocks or whatever, so it'd be quick as hell so you could get through games, and I'd just run the ball every single down and run the clock out. I'd have like one possession a half.
Kelly's a ringer.
That was great. Yeah, I had a good time with it.
So I appreciate the tweet, Corbin. I think the long story is we just gave you the short. The short version of the story is I don't think I'm going to be getting involved here. I think it's going to be one of those things that I kind of, what's the SpongeBob meme when they're all playing outside and I think it's Squidward up in the you know, looking down, being all sad. That's going to be kind of my vibe. I'm going to watch everyone else play. I'll live vicariously through my friends. Here's the only way that I will get involved in this video game console. My nephew's 9 years old. If he calls me and says he wants to play me, for him, I would buy it.
Boom.
That would be the only way that I would get involved.
Good Uncle Jared. There we go.
Uncle Jared to the rescue. All right. Hopefully we get Uncle Sam to the rescue with some of these baseball futures odds. We talked a little bit about the Cy Young. Let's briefly touch on the divisions. I'm pulling up the division markets now. I'm going to go through them one by one very quickly, and I'm going to basically push the ones to the side that I think have no value. Yankees, Orioles, American League East. I think the Orioles deserve to be favored. How much do they deserve to be favored by? Not much. So with the market now plus 115, it's relatively fair. I got plus 155 on Baltimore about 2 weeks ago. I think if this gets back up to about plus 130, plus 140, that's where I would be interested. Plus 115, yeah, I think Baltimore should be favored, but not significantly favored. So I don't think you're getting a ton of value at plus 115, but I would not be shocked if the Orioles went on a nice little stretch to start the second half after slumping the final week of the final week for the All-Star break. And I think this market will flip relatively quickly, but I wouldn't go crazy here because I do think the Yankees are live. Guardians, Twins in the Central. Guardians are going to win. I don't think there's any value at minus 185. Astros, Mariners in the West is intriguing.
I think in the past 2 weeks, I've heard three different bets in this division.
Give me the three you've heard, and I'll agree.
Well, the Astros, Mariners, and Rangers. So like, I have heard different opinions on each one
of them. What's the bull case for Texas? Give me the bull case for Texas.
They're going to have some pitching come back, right? Just a lot. It was a lot of that, yeah.
I agree with that. But here's the part that scares me. They just won the World Series. If they continue to struggle and they see meat on the bone for some of these veterans, I think they're going to trade Max Scherzer. Mm. Like, that is the first guy who will get moved. That's what scares me about the Rangers. It's because they just won it. And it's hard to repeat in baseball. It's really hard to repeat. And I think if they go another couple of weeks and they don't get back over the 500 mark, I think if we get to July 31st and they're still 6-7 games back under 500, I don't know if they can get to the wild card, because the wild card right now is pretty tough. You've got the Yankees that are eating up a spot, or the Orioles. One of those teams is gonna right, be a wild card team. And then you get the Twins, who are good enough to win the division, but I don't think they're good enough to win the World Series, but they're a wild card team. And I'll be honest, you get Boston, that's had a really good first half, very unexpected. Kansas City and Houston, I think, are right there too. You've got to be...
I mean, they're 7.5 games back in the wild card. They're 5 games back in the division.
I don't think they can... I don't think they're going to make the playoffs. I'm out on Texas. I think Texas is gonna sell because I think they have a young core coming up. We were talking about Wyatt Langford doing Rookie of the Year, and I think they're going to get a pretty penny for Max Scherzer, who's basically... actually, let me check Scherzer's contract. If Scherzer is a rental, and when I say rental, I mean he's a free agent at the end of the year, well, then he's going to command a very intriguing price. If he has 1 year left on his deal, we'll get to a little bit on the other side after we make our discussion with golf coming up. But I think Scherzer might get moved. I think he might get moved. All right, Byron Lindekay is on the other side, host of the Back Nine Bets podcast. It's the Open Championship across the pond.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
All right, we roll on. We're going to get Byron Lindekay coming up in just a bit. He's in the queue. But I want to finish the thought on Max Scherzer, because I do think Texas is going to move him. I honestly do. So he's an unrestricted free agent at the end of the year, which means he's a rental, which means he's going to be a very cheap addition for one of these teams. And I absolutely can see him getting moved. That's why I'm out on Texas. And I think that is a big part to the futures market in baseball you need to take into account. You need to be sure before you bet on a team that they are not going to sell. I was worried that Houston might sell before the deadline, but they kind of turned things around. And I think they are back on track. The rest of the futures markets on the divisional side, National League, no value in the East. The Phillies are going to run away with this thing. I love the Braves. I think they have a chance to compete once we get to October because their rotation's very good at the top. But I am not very high on them overtaking the Phillies in the National League East. The Brewers and the Cardinals are another very intriguing bet in the National League Central. The Cardinals are right there. I mean, they are... basically 3 games back in the loss column heading into the All-Star break. And I do think Milwaukee could be 4 games back, but I do think Milwaukee is a little bit vulnerable, and I could see St. Louis making up that ground. National League West, not very intriguing, frankly. The Dodgers and the Padres are going to be battling it out, but I think the Dodgers are a cut above. Kelly, do we have Byron for us?
Byron's good to go.
All right. Joining us now on the Progressive Guest Line, Byron Lindekay, host of the Back Nine Bets podcast, senior contributor at Rotoballers PGA website. We're very excited to have you on, Byron, because I have not done any. I'm relying on people like Kelly, people like you, to get me up to speed on what we are going to see at the British Open across the pond this week. So the floor is yours. First, break down the course for us, sir.
Well, the course is going to be quite interesting because difficult section. Then if the wind picks up, we're in trouble because wherever that comes from, it's going to be all over the place. So it may be like my signal right now. I think I'm lagging a touch. I'm apologies for that, but it's going to play difficult. It's going to play easy. I think you're going to have to do a lot of variations when you're trying to win this golf tournament this year.
Yeah, Byron, for people handicapping right now, because I get asked this a lot too, we know weather is going to be a factor at some point. It's very hard on Tuesday morning right now to predict exactly when that's going to come, especially when we're talking Scotland. What do you suggest to people out there trying to break this down? We got tee times today, so you know when guys are going off out there. Everybody's going to start on hole one. That is something to keep in mind for the Open as they go through just the course of the day with all the daylight out there. What's your best piece of advice for people trying to handicap right now with the wind? Is it look at a weather forecast and make your bets now, or is it wait a little bit here?
I've been keeping track of the weather since Monday morning, and it's not the same anytime I post another screenshot in there. So I would suggest waiting until Wednesday evening if you're in the States to kind of do what you need to do. But, you know, obviously content creators have to pop out some things out there and kind of give some suggestions. So we can kind of look at our favorite bets that I got my eye on, so to speak, before we go into all of that stuff. But yeah, I definitely say the weather this week is one of the most important aspects of this tournament, for sure.
Weather seems like with this tournament every year, there's always a curveball that gets thrown into the mix. Is there a player, or I guess someone maybe at the top of the market, that is immune to the conditions? Or is every player kind of in the same boat where they are just at the mercy of the gods?
Yeah, I think that's one of the things that is the hardest to kind of quantify, is there's no real like stats that prove how good you are in the wind. But sometimes looking at like Justin Thomas, for instance, he's exceptional in the wind when it comes to ball flight and controlling his trajectory, but yet his translation to Open Championships has been rather poor. I don't think he's got a top 10 at this tournament in his career, so tough scenes for him. But guys like Brian Harman, we've got a good, gritty, blue-collar mentality that can kind of just tough it out for four straight days, or guys that make sense. Sometimes the short hitters typically thrive in the wind because their ball flight's lower. At the top of the board, I think, you know, Ludwig, I think John Rahm, I think Rory, obviously at single bullet range at 8-1 there is an option as well. So just there's a multitude of dudes, and I think you just got to try to find your favorite and guys that model out well for you.
Byron, I think this tournament unique in the sense that it's not always the chalky, right? Like usually when we think of the major, especially the Masters, it's hard to come from outside of, let's say, the top 10, top 20 on the odds board and win that thing. But last year, Brian Harman was, what, 100-1? Something in that range. Mm-hmm. Like, because of the volatility involved with this tournament, with the weather, with the course changing every year, does it lend to more long shot opportunities?
Yes, in a way. I will say that the volatility that you're speaking about is true, but from a trend perspective, since 2012, nobody with the finish worse than second in a prior major has won the Open Championship. So you have to have finished second or first in a prior major to get yourself into the mix for the Open Championship and to win it. No one has done anything worse than a second. So it's very, very important to have a major pedigree. It doesn't matter which major, in my opinion, as long as you've contended or won one in the past.
Love it. All right, Byron, set us up with your card here. Who are you targeting to win? Who are you targeting to finish high? Matchups, whatever is on your docket for this week.
Yes. So as I said earlier, I have not bet too many bets yet. I do have two outright so far. Will Zalatoris at 220-1. He's a major dog. I mean, when it comes to him playing good golf, it happens at the majors. I understand his track record's quite poor right now. That's okay. He's 220-1. I'll take a sprinkle. Wyndham Clark has been around that 80-1, 60-1 range. I jumped in on 80. I think he's also one of the guys I wasn't too worried about the wave advantage at that number. And then Cam Smith is minding his business at 50 and 60-1. I think these are all very nice guys at very nice numbers to kind of start your card with. You can still probably play a Rory if you've gone with those three guys too. So I think I'll be looking at Rory. I think I'll be looking at Ludwig and kind of just paying attention to how the weather unfolds as tomorrow comes closer to us. But Tom Kim as well is another guy I'm really in the mood to play. He finished second at the Open Championship here last year. He's sitting outside that 40-1 range as well. And I mean, he notched that second place finish we were talking about. So youngsters got that major pedigree coming through.
220-1 on Zalatoris. Kelly, that number jumps out at me. What do you think?
Yeah, I think as Byron's talking about, he's isolated a few guys where if you have the ability, as Byron said, some of us have to create content, so we've got to make these bets earlier. But if you have the ability to wait till tomorrow night to make your bets, what you want to do now is what he's talking about, is bet some of these guys that you know are only going to get shorter. I mean, Zalatoris, definitely some injury concerns. You can't know for sure, but at a number like that, it's hard to argue with. It's hard to argue with any of Byron's picks because he's only isolating guys whose numbers are getting shorter from the Open to where they're at now.
Byron Lindekew, host of the Back Nine Bets podcast, senior contributor to RotoBallers PGA coverage. Great stuff as always, Byron. I guess we'll let you go with this. Scottie Scheffler and Rory McIlroy sitting at the top of the market. If you had to put one of those two chalky picks on your card this week, which of the two top favorites do you prefer?
I will take Rory, just based off the number, based off the track record at majors at the Open Championship. Scottie's only played three of these, and his best finish is an eighth. You know, Rory's won one of these in the past and had multiple runner-up finishes recently. So I like Rory McIlroy at a golf course that should suit his driving ability.
What do you think?
I like it. I think at those odds, I would probably lean Rory myself as well. Yep.
Rory McIlroy, 8-1. I'll be honest, the Zalatoris number, I'm going to go hunting in the bargain basement to try to find a good number on Will Zalatoris. Byron, I appreciate the time, pal. I'm not sure what time zone you're in. For us here in the Pacific time zone, it's going to be a very early week. I hope you have a better sleep cycle planned for the Royal Troon experience we are going to have this week.
Middle of the cornfield here in Central Standard Time in Iowa are not going to be treating me much different to what the West Coast doing for you boys. So we'll be grinding the coffee and having a good time just watching late night golf.
Thank you so much
for having me on.
Yeah, of course, Byron. Great stuff as always, pal. Really good to talk to you. Of course, that's Byron Lindekew, host of the Back Nine Bets podcast. I'm going to be loading up on the coffee and caffeine. I think Friday night is going to be my toughest one because Saturday morning I have a really early show. So yeah, I'm going to have to wake up really early on Saturday. I'm not going to watch Thursday, although I'll be up for the first round at the end. I'll watch a little bit of the first round leader vibes. Do you have any first round leader bets you thinking?
Man, I see that's that for me, that's the ultimate.
I love
check
the, first round
check the weather and for me to wait. That is the, like, we've got podcasts to do. I can use that as an excuse. It's not an excuse though. Like there's a lot of bets like Byron. If I wasn't creating content every day, basically talking golf, I'd probably be approaching it like he is. Doesn't mean we don't still have guys that are circled, right, that we plan on betting, and you just kind of want to make sure they're not going to get the worst of the weather. But as Byron said early, this forecast is constantly changing, and every year you watch the Open, it changes from what you think it's going to be Wednesday night to what it actually plays out like over the weekend. So there is a, you know, we talk about this a lot of times in betting, right, Jared? There's paralysis by overanalysis. Don't let that get you. If there is a guy or two that you like this week, there's a couple. I bet Morikawa already. I love Morikawa this week. And if you get bit by the weather, it happens. But a lot of that is very, very difficult to figure out exactly when that weather is going to affect your golf.
Volatility, thy name is Royal Troon.
Yep.
Exciting stuff. I will be watching this week. Sleep deprived. But I still will be watching. All right, we'll wrap up the show on the other side. A numbers game live on Visa.
A numbers game on Visa, the sports betting network.
All right, it's been a really fun show. We'll recap the guests in just a minute, but first we want you to check out vsin.com. Why? Well, because we have all kinds of fun stuff today. We just talked a little bit earlier in the show about Tyler Shoemaker's WNBA best bets, odds, and predictions for July 16th. I'm scrolling the page currently as we speak. Not only does Tyler have today's games in there, but he also has an interesting play for tomorrow as well as we wrap up what has been a very exciting, I guess we'll call it the first half of the WNBA season as they go on. We don't have an Olympic break every year, but this year we have an Olympic break. It'll be a whole month off, but today and tomorrow, there are still WNBA games for you to bet on.
And Tyler Shoemaker's got all of your action covered at VSiN.com. All right, now I will thank our guest today, Drew Dinsick, Tyler Shoemaker, one of those guests, of course, VSiN contributor and writer. Drew Dinsick is an analyst for NBC Sports and host of the Deep Dive podcast. And we just talked to Byron Lindekue, host of the Back Nine Bets podcast, with some great insight about the Open Championship coming up this week at Royal Troon. Thank you to all three of those. Thank you to everyone in the back as well. And Kelly Bidlin, of course, doing a great job producing today, but also giving us some insight into the NBA futures market. I've been teasing this for like the last hour. You have a very, you'll call it intriguing look at the win total markets as we kind of spin this thing forward. We're starting to see some movement with the NBA win total markets right out of the gate. I mean, These things have been basically fresh powder for about 48 hours now, but we're starting to see some, you know, some ski marks go through the powder as people start to eat into this thing. Is there anyone, any team in particular that really stands out to you?
Yeah, I'll run through a few that did jump out to me, but they are, if you listen to us with Drew Dinsick earlier, none that I'm running to bet the right now for this year. I think he made a good point on the Washington Wizards, though. That is not one I really considered. It is a low win total, 22.5. I don't think that team, when we just joked about them trading away their best player and the best player is named Denny Avdia, like that tells you something about where the Washington Wizards are at. So I think an under on them would actually probably be a good play. That might be one I'll consider a little bit more. I didn't really look that far down the board. The other one that distracted me in that range, and we talked about a little bit, is the Blazers. I'll go over a few of these here, and I didn't put the Blazers on this graphic, but I would include them with the Suns and Cavaliers, where overs for all three of those teams intrigue me right now, Jared, but there are all three of those teams definitely capable of making trades here still before the season starts. You've got, the Blazers have three quality centers that, like, I cannot imagine they're going into the season with. You just drafted Donovan Klingon. You've got Ayton there. You've got Robert Williams still from that trade with the Celtics. I would imagine they're moving one of those pieces. So with like a better idea of exactly what their team's going to look like, and they could move more pieces throughout the season. So that would be my one concern with them. But they were maybe the first team that I looked at and was like, okay, overwritten all over that for me because I do like the makeup of their roster. You just don't know how that's going to change. The ones I was waiting on this year, and it's the past couple years, we have had these win totals kind of get released during summer league, and there's been two or three that I've jumped on almost immediately the past few years. I remember last year, I think there was four of them, I bet, as soon as these got released. Spurs was one I had circled. I was looking for like 32.5, something like that. Of course, it's right up there at 35.5. I think that's about spot on. Drew mentioned it, but the Grizzlies over was one that I was looking at as well.
I heard KBT talk about that yesterday, and that number's kind of been bet up too.
Yeah, and I think that's probably right where it should be at. So a couple of the other ones I circled they stick out to me a little bit. It's a lot of the high end ones, and it's under Nuggets under 52.5. That's a pretty big number right now on this team. That look, they lose KCP, that's pretty significant to me. Drew brought it up. This Western Conference, it's going to have a lot. I don't want to say a completely different look, Jared, next year, but it's going to have the buzz around it's going to be completely different because there are not as many of that top tier teams as we thought there were last year. And I think what you're going to see more this year is the Western Conference talked about is there's a lot of good teams in it. There's a lot of good teams in the Western Conference. Not that many great teams. And teams like the Nuggets are going to take a step backward, I think, when they do. They're moving the pieces they have. Jamal Murray, they've still got to figure out a deal with, which has kind of been some weird conversation around that. So if anything, it'd be leaning the under on the Nuggets win total. I will say I did bet under on the Nuggets win total last year, too, and that was a loser. So you can keep that in mind. Was right around the same number, though. Knicks, the Bucks. Drew brought it up. Look, I will always be on here defending Giannis and Damian Lillard. I think they get it figured out at some point. But, man, that was one of the more surprising numbers to me of just, okay, we haven't really seen them do anything in the offseason. Yes, they should be a healthier team next year, but Giannis sure still played a lot last season. And 51.5 after a very, very dysfunctional season feels pretty high. Knicks are out to 52.5.
Yeah, that seems a little high.
My thing with them, Jared, and you're a Knicks fan, so yeah, I mean, you can help speak to this.
It seems a little high.
I love the team that they've constructed this offseason. It's great. I think that they have some redundancy at positions, which works in your favor in the playoffs. In the regular season, my big concern is what happened with if Jalen Brunson goes down? They rely on him so much for their offensive output. I'm a little bit concerned on that. The defense should be great all year. You did lose Hartenstein, though. You're a little thinner down low with the bigs. I just 52.5 was a little bit higher than where I thought that was going to be. Again, none of these a bet for me, though. Grizzlies, I wrote down there. And Suns, Cavs, Blazers, I think I'm interested in all of them. I think Zach Cohen wrote about the Suns and the Cavs, actually, at VSiN.com. With overs on them. I think all of those are worth tracking, but we heard about the Suns possibly moving a Durant or a Booker earlier in the offseason. Around the draft, I don't really think that's going to happen at this point, but man, there was a lot of smoke back then of something like that happened, so I'm not completely ruling it out. And the Cavaliers, we've been hearing about Darius Garland getting moved for, you know, seemingly 6 weeks now, and it hasn't happened. So I think both of those, Cavs probably the most likely would be the one I'd be running to bet an over on. Just got to wait right now. There's no reason to rush a bet if you're not exactly sure what you're betting on. I think there's some of those teams, you just don't know what you're betting on at this point if you're betting win totals.
Yeah, and again, the first move tends to be the sharp one with these markets.
Yep.
So, you know, track them. We've already seen some initial movement and see where the numbers move and then try to find that number somewhere else. You know, the original number, right? There's shop around, use all the markets to your advantage. These markets move slower than other ones do. They move slower than a straight side would. Usually, if you have a big high profile game, side moves a half a point. The rest of the market tends to move lockstep very quickly after. With these markets, win total moves up a half a win or a win. It's not uniform across the board. It takes time. It could take weeks for other markets, other sports books to catch up to a source of truth.
Right, yeah.
And also, DraftKings, I think, is the only shop that has these.
I mean, that's what I was going to say. That's one of the biggest points, too, of like, there's nowhere for me to bet right now because I think DraftKings is the only ones with them posted. But yeah, you always want to shop around. It doesn't matter what we're discussing.
The full market comes to you and then adapt. And if you miss a number, then you just have to have the discipline to just move on from it.
Yep.
Speaking of discipline, I want to get to this story right before we sign off here. We had a quarterback ranking list come out recently. That was all the buzz as we moved to the NFL. We actually went the whole 2 hours and talked about the NFL. How about that? That must be a record here on the show. But the reason I don't want to bring this up is not because I disagree with the list. I think the list is actually pretty good. Of course, the top 10 quarterbacks according to the NFL executives, coaches, and scouts. When you are looking at these lists, if Patrick Mahomes is not number one, just stop right now and move on because the list is not made in a truthful way. The list is being made to clickbait you. I am fine with debating 2 through 10. That is up for debate. You want to put Josh Allen in front of Joe Burrow because Joe Burrow's been hurt the last 2 years? That's fine. I'm fine with having that argument. There is one argument that you cannot make. You cannot make the argument that Patrick Mahomes is not the best quarterback in the league. There is no argument. After that, I'm up for sale. You want to move CJ Stroud up? You want to move Jackson down? You want to move Stafford in? Whatever. I'll listen to your arguments about anything else. I will not listen to your argument that Patrick Mahomes is not the best quarterback in the league. When that argument is not Mahomes won,
yeah,
I ignore you and move on because there's no constructive conversation to have if you don't think he's the number one quarterback.
There's really not. I also don't know. Like, I don't know the context of exactly what the rankings are with some of these.
Me neither.
Right?
And that matters.
Like Stroud and Rodgers, right? It's like, okay, well, you asking me for who's the best quarterback for one game tomorrow? Okay, yeah, I'm probably going with Aaron Rodgers at this point. But are we talking about?
I'll take Stafford over a lot of those guys in front of him one game for all the marbles. I'll take Stafford over Lamar Jackson one game for all the marbles in the playoffs.
Yeah, me too.
So again, I'm up for debate 2 through 10. You can debate me. I will listen to you. I will agree or disagree. If you try to debate me that Patrick Mahomes is not number one, I'm turning off the TV. I'm muting. It's over. The conversation's done.
I love Joe Burrow, but I would have Josh Allen number two on this list.
I would too. But I understand why you want Joe Burrow on the list because he's the only one that's beaten Mahomes in the AFC Championship game.
Yep.
So that's their debate. I won't debate John one. I'll debate you guys tomorrow with other stuff. Want to appreciate all of our guests, Kelly Bidlin, everyone in the back. Fantastic stuff. A numbers game. I'm back tomorrow in for Gil Alexander. We'll see you then.